Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. As always, you are invited if you want to join us. You can take control of the airwaves. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
How are you?
And Conan.
So I don't know if y'all caught it, but yesterday the the Biden spokesperson, Jen Psaki, was...
How do you confuse calling her Putin?
Putin, Biden, I don't know, it's easy to confuse tyrants. But anyway, she talked about Putin in the clip, and she was basically announcing what was going to come. She didn't give the numbers, but she was saying to people basically to expect a much larger increase in the official inflation rates.
Oh, I'm sure they're thrilled with this whole Russia-Ukraine war because they magically get to, you know, blame Putin.
The scapegoat.
For these inflation rates.
Yeah, I think I've got the video here from the Daily Mail. We'll see if she says what she's supposed to say.
Oh, who's the little redhead on Peanuts, Charlie Brown?
I have no idea.
Charlie or something?
No, it's I'll look it up.
Peppermint Patty.
That's Jen.
All right, so here she goes.
We talked about inflation long before there was an invasion, but we also know that factually, if you look.
She's right so far. We did talk about inflation long before there was invasion. We've been talking about inflation like hardcore for the last 2 years. It was obvious.
But now they get to blame Putin. This is the actual clip I was looking for.
We've taken to address the Putin price hike.
The Putin price hike.
And I love it.
Yeah, she comes back to it too again here a little more. I don't know what's with this player. It just muted on me. Come
on,
lady.
Putin price hike. That's brilliant.
CPI headline inflation to be extraordinarily elevated.
She said we expect the CPI headline inflation, which they came out with today. This news conference was from yesterday. Would be extraordinarily inflated. Remember, last month it was 7.9%. And again, they're always a month behind. So 7.9% was for February. They released March's numbers today.
Putin's price hike.
Putin's price hike. So the increase is all due to
Holy
Putin.
Holy crap. So the gas prices, we're at. Inflation in general is where it's at. Yeah. All because of
Putin. The Putin price hike. They even have a name for it.
We expect a large difference between core and headline inflation reflecting the global disruptions in energy and food markets. So core inflation.
Right. Disregarding the notch that she just said, what is the government inflation rate that they're giving for the month of March?
8.5%.
Versus and that is what was last month?
7.9%. It had been going up by like 0.1, 0.2%, but so it's jumped up quite a bit.
And that's the 1%. New rating system. This isn't what they used back in the 70s.
Really?
No, they changed it just like they changed how you record unemployment in this country.
Well, regardless, this is a 40-year high. These are the highest inflation numbers, official government numbers, since December of 1981, when their numbers were at 8.9%.
That's rough when even their wonky little math doesn't hide the inflation.
Yeah.
Right. That's the whole reason they invented their math. Apparently, 50% is the number for hyperinflation. That's the number they've always said represents hyperinflation.
High, actually? 50%?
That's what I've heard.
8.5%, though, is not terribly far off from that. That's almost 20% of that. Yep. I mean, it's getting there, man. And
oh, no, it will get there.
I'm not happy about it, but I'm happy about it.
Well, I mean, the Build Back Better types want this so they could build back better.
They'll be in poverty, starving to death in the streets.
Some people will, yes. But I mean, we will, as libertarians, we'll never be able to move on to the next point in this in this system until the system breaks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's as a collapsitarian, it's got to collapse because there are too many people who are hanging on to, you know, if we had just gotten Trump into presidency, we this wouldn't have happened. By the way, it would be happening right now.
Oh, of course it would, because Trump started he kicked the ball off when it comes to dramatically increased inflation. The first giveaway was under Trump. It was part of the first big payout bill, the $2 trillion or whatever it was back in 2020.
Weren't all of the giveaways under Trump?
No. I think Biden presided over one of them.
Okay.
But he did oversee the warp speed Project Warp Speed to get those vaccines out there. So all you conservatives out there who worship this guy, no, it would have happened. It'd be very, very similar if Trump was. I mean, we might still be in some countries. We might not have left a lot of armaments over there in the Middle East. Maybe that wouldn't have happened. Maybe Putin wouldn't have done the whole Ukraine thing. But everything else, it probably would be happening just the same way it's happening right now.
I tend to agree. And I think the Ukraine thing was probably going to happen anyway. I don't think Trump was, forestalling it. I think another Trump presidency wouldn't have done anything to change it.
Well, I guess it depends on how you see the narrative over in the whole Russian-Ukraine narrative and what you think is actually taking place. Is it just some mean old tyrant who wants to crush his neighbors, or is there something else actually taking place? Which has been taking place for decades.
Yeah, well, I mean, they certainly seem to be using it to their benefit, right? Like, so whether or not Putin did this at the behest of the American government or not, they are benefiting from this by using it as an excuse to pawn off inflation and say, oh, well, we didn't do this to you, America. It was Putin.
Doesn't include energy and food prices. Headline inflation does. And of course, we know that core inflation, energy, the impact of energy, of course, on oil prices, gas prices, we expect that to continue to reflect what we've seen the increases be over the course of this invasion. And just as an example, since President Putin's military buildup accelerated in January, average gas prices are up more than 80 cents. Most of the increase.
By the way, they were up before that, too.
Yep. They've been going up.
Occurred in the month of March, and at times gas prices were more than a dollar above pre-invasion level. So that roughly 25% increase in gas prices will drive tomorrow's inflation reading. And certainly it's not a surprise to us.
Right. No, it's just the gasoline.
But correlation is not causation, right?
No. Did she say that this inflation number is not being affected by food and gas?
She said there were two numbers. She said there's like a core inflation and a headline inflation.
And one doesn't include energy and food.
I think she said it was the headline one that did include.
Because can I just say that's the only inflation that I notice right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not really buying anything else except fuel and food. Everything else is not really necessary. I guess rent.
I noticed my electric bill is up. I don't know if that's related to inflation or not, but I did notice an increase.
Yeah, mine is up too. But of course, I have been. I got grow lights everywhere, and I've got miners, and
Well, it's that worst time of year, right, where you have to run the heat and occasionally fans as well.
Okay. Side note, total side note. I'm sleepwalking again. Check this out. I think it was Friday night. I woke up. I was sweating. Now, this is very rare in my house because, of course, I keep the thermostat at 52.
Yeah.
I was sweating, and I got up, and I'm like, what the hell? And I realized the furnace was on.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I haven't run the thing in a whole month because I'm like, I just have a little bit of fuel left.
Mm-hmm.
I go out there.
Don't blame me for not wanting to buy it right now.
I go out there, the thermostat is on 100.
Oh, my God.
And the thing was, the frame was ripped off the wall. Not ripped off, like, you can take the cap off.
Yeah.
It was off the wall. The thing was on 100.
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know.
Oh,
dude.
Sleepwalking.
I must have been sleepwalking.
Oh my goodness!
It'll happen, dude.
I must have been cold in the night and just realized that would change the temperature. Holy crap! It was 85 degrees in my house.
I didn't know you were a sleepwalker. I knew Aria was.
It's on and off. I don't know how. I don't know what triggers it.
Has somebody ever seen you do it?
Yeah, I talk in my sleep.
I move
around and. Jostle people, pull covers off.
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, man.
85 damn degrees. I was just...
That's excessive, though.
Yeah, it was excessive.
Aria set up a camera, I think, to record herself.
I used to audio record just to hear what I would say in the night.
I don't talk.
Didn't you talk to Mikey? In the hallway?
Okay, yes. But that was during the course of sleepwalking. That's not like laying in bed, sleeping talking, right?
He was actually trying to talk to you.
Yes.
And you were responding. Otherwise, you probably would never say
I said,
anything.
And I quote, shut up, Mikey.
There's more coming up here. Whether you want to tell us a sleepwalking story or your thoughts on the latest inflation numbers, it is the highest numbers in 40 years, according to the various media that are comparing this. And I did pull up a chart today, and apparently numbers have been as high as like 20%, like back in the 1940s. But then again, as you say, Conan, they changed how they measure these things, and I'm not sure when exactly they put that in place. More coming up. is Free Talk Live. You're invited. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Aria.
And Conan.
Talking about the latest inflation numbers. They again, these are official numbers, which means they are dishonest.
Now, I'm curious. Are these cumulative or additive or...
Cumulative? Sorry.
Yeah. Is that what I, not what I said?
Not quite.
Okay. Well, whatever. And, I mean, how are these... Like, it was 8.5% this month, mm-hmm. and it was 7-point-something% last month. So that mean, does that mean between the last 2 months is 15%? Or...
No. It. I believe it is... the official way they talk about it is it's 8.5% from... last March, so calculated over an entire year.
Okay.
If I understand correctly on how that works. So from February, it would have been up 7.9% since February of the previous year.
Gotcha. By the way, looking at shadowstats.com, who actually reports on the real numbers, like the real unemployment numbers mm-hmm. in this country, he or she or them, they report it as a little over 12. If they were using the same...
12%?
If they were using the same system as they did back in the 80s.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not actually sure how they changed the calculations, but I do know that it was changed. It was flipped somehow in order to bring it down to not so record breaking numbers to not scare the people. Of course.
So it's 8.5% is the number they're throwing out there right now, and we're still waiting to get the other numbers. So they come out with two numbers every month. There's the consumer price index, and then there's the what they call the producer price index, and that measures the wholesale prices. And that has been, I believe last month, it went over the two digits for the very first time in the time since I've been watching it. So that's already much higher than the consumer one. And you know, if wholesale prices are going up, then of course consumer prices have to follow. They try to put it off as long as they can. They try to play games like shrinkflation, where they shrink down the product sizes and keep the price the same, quote unquote, to try to fool people. But
there's only so much of that they can do,
man. That's right. You can only shrink a product so far before at some point you have to reintroduce the old size and call it the new family size or something like that. Yeah. Start the process all over again.
I broke down on Saturday. I forgot to take my lunch to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I went most of the day, and I was driving by some stores, and I broke down. I haven't bought what I would call a snack.
Oh.
In a long time.
So you mean you normally pack your own lunch, you don't go out to eat.
I went in to one of these, it's called Ocean State.
Job Lots?
Job Lots, yeah.
Oh, that's not a place you get fresh food. You just got something packaged?
But they usually have like cheapy kind of generic food.
Uh-huh.
So I got a package of granola bars. And I got back
Sticker
to the,
shock?
I got back to the vehicle, and they weren't even that cheap either. Mm-hmm. Like Aldi's, it has some really cheap granola bars.
Right.
I got back to the Jeep and... open one of these bad boys up. I'm telling you, it's like the size of a
tiny
pencil. It's so small, and I
felt like kid size, right?
American kids wouldn't be able to handle it. They'd be eating the whole box. Yeah. I could have eaten the whole box if I'd wanted to.
Wow.
I mean, it satiated me until I got back to the house.
The whole box.
But it was eye-opening.
Did you eat the whole box?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was what I understood until Ian said the whole box, and you just kept going and said, no, I didn't eat the whole box.
I'm telling you, a 10-year-old could eat the whole box easy. And yeah, there was a lot of empty space in the box. Oh, and of course, these little guys were pencil thin. Like little, they look like Slim Jims.
Yep. It's
there's
sad.
No way they were as thin as Slim Jims. You have to be exaggerating.
I'm going to go grab one of them. I still have the whole
you
box in the truck. I'm going to bring them in.
Okay.
It is... I'm not buying anymore. I make my own granola, but like I broke down. I just had to have something a little sweet and a little, to keep me going. I was having a hard time on Saturday.
It's rough out there. In fact, the Wall Street Journal has a story about how to adjust your brain for rising inflation.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Prices are changing so quickly, it's tough to know what's a good deal right now.
And this is coming from the mainstream media. You know, they carry water for the state. One of their primary jobs is to hide the inflation, or when that fails, to convince us that, hey,
it's okay.
Yeah, you can mentally process this in a way that it's not so bad.
Yep, that's what they're doing. They're trying to console people here. They say inflation turns money into a foreign language. The rising cost of gas, food, and hundreds of other things is pushing Americans to rethink how they read every price tag. Whether in the produce aisle or the used car lot, our definition of cheap or expensive has changed. Researchers on consumer psychology say Americans trimmed spending and adjusted their monthly budgets as annual inflation rate rose to a four-decade high of 7.9% in February. Now we know it's 8.5% for March, which economists expect to grow. Grew to 8.4% last month. Financial advisors say this recalibration can't be a one-time effort. Knowing exactly what you're willing to pay for something and examining what is a necessity should be a constant effort. Quote, there's no going back to the way things were, said Scott Rick.
Shut up, Rick.
Associate professor of marketing of the University of Michigan. He says you have to update and roll with it. Well, the thing is, he's right. He's saying something that's different from what the politicians are saying. The politicians, people like Biden, are saying things like, we're going to try to get inflation under control. We're going to try to get inflation back down.
Yeah, but Jen is saying this is the new normal.
That's the thing. It's the messaging that they're putting out there is purposely misleading, saying they're going to try to get inflation back down. Because even if they can lower the rate of inflation, which I don't think they have any plan to actually do.
They can't destroy part of the money supply.
That's exactly right. Not easily, at least. True. I mean, they could. They could take dollars out of inflation.
Or they could create their new digital currency like they want to and move to something completely different, which might actually be the plan.
That seems like the plan, even though it's not officially the plan yet.
By the way, we were talking about these news organizations consoling the consumer. And they don't always do that because if it bleeds, it leads. And so on one hand, they're telling us that we're all going to die. The Russians could be dropping nukes on us any day now. Are you going to die of COVID or whatever? Or you're going to die from mosquito bite.
And then
in this story, this is their fluff piece where they're actually defending something that you should be, the actual thing that you should be scared of, they have turned it on its head and they're turned it into a fluff piece. And then they're making up this other nonsense hey guys, don't worry about Russia. You should be worried about inflation. Mm. In fact, anything that this news... Who's reporting this?
Is Wall Street Journal.
Just everything they say, you just believe the exact opposite. like I've been doing for the last decade.
It does seem to work. I mean, if they tell you, hey, guys, you know, inflation isn't your big concern right now. You know, you just need to recalibrate your brain. That's your sign that inflation is a big deal.
Yes.
If they're telling you to be scared of Russia, that's your sign that, okay, Russia's not anything I should be scared of. That's them trying to deflect you from the reality.
And Psaki, the girl that we were playing earlier, the spokes bureaucrat, she is saying this is going to keep going. Like, she basically hinted at that in her statement earlier, that she didn't say this is going to stop anytime soon. And they're going to keep blaming it on Putin. Now, the question is, how many people actually believe that? Because I've seen studies saying that a lot of people are really afraid of the Russians and that they think Putin is, you know, the enemy, et cetera, in large numbers.
They can't be that stupid, though.
No, they are. And here's the thing I was just thinking about the other day. With COVID, they only had half of the population, or let's say half of the political population. Mm-hmm. And there was the other half of the aisle didn't believe it at all. Mm-hmm. But with this new Ukraine nonsense, now you've got all those conservatives, all those vets, all those veterans who are all on board now. So now you have all the left and you have a bunch of warmongering veterans who are all, this is perfect. They finally found something that works.
We'll find out more. You can share your thoughts with us, 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live. You can join us here, and bring up whatever is on your mind at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Talking about the inflation numbers hitting a 40-year record high. Apparently, the last time inflation numbers were this high, now 8.5% over the last year, going back to March of 2021, was in 1981, December of 1981, so 40-plus years ago. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
We are discussing this. Of course, you're welcome to join us and bring up whatever's on your mind. Conan, we were looking for some polling information.
Before we do that, I want to bring up this granola bar thing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Conan, we did talk about that a little bit on the air, and then so let's update it. It is tiny. It is less than an ounce. I mean,
yeah, it's like a 3-bite, 4-bite granola bar, I would say, right?
I buy, maybe three bites.
Yeah, three.
I buy these dog treats called, I think they're called nudges or something. I don't recall. Okay. But it's about the size of three of these. I mean, three dog treats equals one of these. And the dog treats are super cheap and they're, you know, meat fit for a dog. So they're probably not very good either. But this is organic and it's less than half an ounce. And it is tiny.
Especially when you consider the last time I bought a box of granola bars, maybe 10 years ago, I got my money's worth. I got a big old monster box. They were full-size treats.
You probably still have it at home. You can probably remember.
No, I keep the boxes.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Oh, God.
Physically, I think it's probably exactly half the size of a Kit Kat.
I bet Kit Kats
are smaller now, too.
So this is what I learned from all of this. I'm going to not go back into that store and buy something that I shouldn't have had to have bought in the first place because I got all the food at the house.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that later in the evening on foods that you all need to start growing right about now.
You've got the top 10 survival foods coming up a little bit later. We're discussing people and how they respond to inflation. And now the mainstream media is admitting that inflation is happening. They're trying to help people deal with it. And then I've got some polling numbers that we pulled up because we're curious about, like, well, how many people are buying this? How many people are buying the quote-unquote Putin price hike claims that Biden is making about, oh, well, it's all Putin's fault is why inflation is happening. Well, of course, anybody that knows what inflation is knows that inflation is an increase in the money supply, and the only people who control the money supply in the United States is the United States federal government via their buddies at the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
That's where the buck starts. And that's where it stops when it comes to inflation. Prices go up as a result of inflation. Prices going up are a symptom of inflation.
And that's why we need to end the Fed.
Indeed. So they say here at the Wall Street Journal, the sudden inability to know how to read price tags is especially disorienting to those under age 40 who have never experienced anything like today's inflation rate. Understanding how we think about prices can help us adapt to inflation, said their expert from the University of Michigan. What we judge to be a good or fair price is influenced by individual background, income, and our mental transaction histories, he said. The prices we pay over and over again, like gas and rent, are better defined than more occasional purchases, which is why politicians so often trip up when asked to recall the price of a gallon of milk, or older people are still anchored to the prices they paid in younger days. And it definitely will hit you like a ton of bricks if you are a renter and your landlord comes to you that your year lease is up or whatever, and then comes to you and says, I'm going to need 40% more.
Yep.
That's definitely something that's like a slap across the face.
That's going to hurt.
A wake-up call.
Especially after your fuel has gone up, your heating has gone up, your food has gone up, and all of a sudden, end of the year, your lease is up. Oh, hey, by the way, I need more money.
Yeah,
the money that you don't have because you've already been strapped all year.
Right. I'd love to have you stay in the house, but I'm going to need 30 to 40% more.
But you but landlords have got to be real careful about that too because everyone is strapped. So you might kick out one crew. Are you going to be able to fill that house with at the new asking price?
You might. I mean, that's a good question.
Someone who's you know, willing to go down in order to, you know, have a place to live.
Yep.
Right. So maybe they'd be coming from a 5-bedroom house where they paid a little bit more to this slightly cheaper house where they're going to be paying a little bit less, and the
downgrade
house maybe isn't as nice, but
hard times are coming.
Down to a 3-bedroom.
If you guys don't see this, you know, all of you out there listening, if you're still in denial and you're worried about Will Smith and you're worried about Ukraine and you're worried about Zika still or
what's
whatever
wrong with Will Smith,
I don't,
because I am immensely concerned about Will Smith.
You know, I am sympathetic. And that whole...
He might be in an abusive relationship.
That is why I'm sympathetic. The whole reason that he's trying to remain a masculine, a strong masculine black man in this country, there is an image that he feels he needs to emulate.
And
he's getting raked over the coals, and it's sad.
Is that you're not wrong. He has always been... You know, I wouldn't even bring his skin color into it. He's always been a great role model for men in the United States. He's always kept himself together. He's been respectable. He's relatively clean. I mean, he's got movies where he cusses and stuff like that, but he does good roles. He's a nice fatherly figure. He's someone that...
Bill Cosby.
Yes, except he doesn't rape a bunch of people, right? He doesn't drug people.
He kissed his son that one time, and that was weird. Right on the mouth.
What, on the lips?
Yeah, right on the
Some
mouth.
Some families do that.
Oh, no, his kid didn't want it, though, and it was weird. It was Biden kiss.
Mark Edge, our co-host Mark Edge, says that his family kisses like that. I find it weird, too. But
my family did when I was, real young, but around the age of 7 or 8 or so, that sort of phased out. Mm. But yeah, there's lip kissing then, too.
But here
we
are. We've changed this. We've changed the important subject that we're talking about, the unimportant subject. No, and the reason
we have to give these people something entertaining as they go to their starving deaths, Conan.
The reason I brought the skin color is I think is very important in this country. That's a black man stereotype where you don't. This is why the black trans community has such problems, because it's looked down upon, and you're going to get yourself if you
You have to be masculine as a black man, is what you're saying,
yes.
In black culture.
Exactly. And so you got Will Smith, and he's out there, and his wife is giving him the eye, you need to go do something about this.
I don't know how true that is, because there are countless videos of Will Smith, crying during interviews and stuff, genuinely crying.
Yeah, in the last, 2 years, it's like he's fallen off the cliff just recently.
That didn't seem, less masculine to me, though. But I'm not your average person, either. The average person probably does view, a man crying as... not masculine.
Well, it's... I don't know.
It's just human. Right?
He seems to be under some level of control by his wife. Because during the incident at the Oscars or whatever, she gave him the...
Yeah. He was laughing initially.
And he turned around
and he looked and saw her looking at him.
Yeah,
And she gave him the go-ahead.
Yeah.
But then after that, it looked scripted. He walks up there on stage... He still looked like he was smiling a little bit.
I don't know, man.
When he turned around and was walking back, he was smiling.
He just smacked someone and gotten away with it.
But you know what? Let's stop. Let's get off this. Let's go back to inflation. We have fallen into the trap. We need to talk about what's important.
Well, so talking about people and how they adjust.
Trans-Ukrainians marrying Russian black soldiers?
That Netflix movie is coming out. Musk is producing it as we speak.
Others find their understanding of prices adjusting when they spot a price change in their monthly utility bill or their usual coffee order, and they totally extrapolate that to the economy at large. Ida Bird Hill, 55-year-old founder and chief executive officer of a cybersecurity reskilling firm in Detroit, says she's noticed price creeps affecting the usual latitude she affords herself in her everyday budget. She said she considered her Netflix subscription her individual inflation marker. When the price increased by $5, she had to make a difficult decision and cut the expense. She says, I look at my budget and I budget to the penny. I'm eagle-eyed to price changes because I have that budget. And I don't know how many people do that. I don't know how many people actually are, minute to minute, item to item budgeting things. I suspect it's a small amount.
In my early 20s, I had, I can't even remember the name of that spreadsheet for budgeting. I had one.
Is there a name for it?
I had it, I recorded every single receipt, every check transaction. I mean, I was on top of it.
Nice.
And then I just got so used to it that I didn't need it. I still keep every one of my receipts, but I was on top.
As long as you're good at not spending what you earn, as long as you're good at saving, you really don't need to be as eagle-eyed on the budget. But it certainly does help for those that want to get an assessment of where they're at month to month. There's more coming up here. You can join us and share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Phones are open. If you want to share your thoughts with maybe sticker shock, seeing something in the store that you are used to at a certain price and then seeing it being either much higher in price or perhaps slimmed smaller. Down yep. and shockingly small after you open the package. You didn't realize it. You didn't think to look at the amount of ounces in the package.
Here's another one. Keeping older food out on the shelves longer, like milk and eggs. They have an expiration date, and usually when they start getting close, they get trucked away, and the delivery man comes and he knows where they're at in the refrigerator, and he grabs them.
You're saying they're letting them sit out though?
Yep.
Longer?
They're going to be out there. So check your milk dates. Check
well, that
your egg
surprises
dates.
Me because right now, the last few times I've been in the grocery store, the amount of product, at least at the Market Basket store here in this area, is light. Like if you go up and grab a milk. That's the only one on that part of the I don't know if you want to call them a stack or whatever. Like there's nothing behind it. Like there was in the milk section the other day, they had gotten rid of most of the milk and they'd spread fruit juices over into the milk section because they just didn't even have
yeah, that's the other,
all the milks.
That's
that they
the
had.
Other trick they do is they spread it out and yeah. cover empty spaces.
That's
they,
been going on for months.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. So.
I've experienced sticker shock in the sense that I don't go shopping very often. So like once every month or so, I need to go and stock up on cat food or dog food. So mm-hmm. I don't go often enough to see the prices increase by, 10 cents here or 20 cents there. But I go infrequently enough where suddenly I'm spending, $30 more per visit. And I'm buying exactly the same stuff that I bought when I was there 2 months ago. And it's jarring. It's roughly a 20% real life increases. It's about a 20% increase in the amount that I've been paying.
Yep. I've also noticed an increase in food, but that's only because every time I go in there, I buy like two or three extra bags of beans and rice and everything, mm-hmm. all those essentials that are basically just going into 5 gallon buckets. I mean, I've already got really nicely packaged, in Mylar bags and free with oxygen absorbers in there to keep, to eat up all the oxygen. Well stored, but now I've just decided, I've got a couple extra corners I can fill with more 5 gallon buckets because I mean we just don't know where it's going right now.
With prices so fluid, this one of their experts at Wall Street Journal recommends people research prices online or talk to friends and peers about what they've been paying for a certain item. The legwork really pays off for big ticket items. Without doing this work, people are more likely to accept the first price that comes along. I mean, that's always good advice to, whether there's inflation or not.
But you only shop at one store, so you're already, this doesn't work for you.
Yeah, because to whatever.
Ian, I can tell you where the cheapest milk in town is, but if you're only going to shop at Market Basket, this information doesn't help
you.
But
that's the thing, Conan.
Is it the cheapest milk at Aldi's? Is it the cheapest everything at Aldi's, though?
Aldi's is cheaper. We actually go to both Aldi
Good.
And Market
Good. Well, at least
Basket.
They're right across the street. But, I mean, I also go to Market Basket, which is on the other side of town, yeah. and that could be a hard move for some people.
We usually go to Market Basket and then go to Aldi later in the week just to kind of fill in some items that we know Aldi has. Because Aldi kind of like has some things and it doesn't have some other things.
Right.
The amount of food we get at Aldi for $30 is always more than what we'll get at Market Basket
Absolutely.
For like $45 or $50 or $60.
Is it that much cheaper?
It feels like it. Just looking at the total volume of what we get,
amount
of bags.
It's absolutely that much cheaper. Yeah. Now you're not going to get name brand foods. You're going to get Aldi brand food.
I don't care about
that's fine.
Name brand.
I grew up on not name brand foods.
Yeah, I like private labels.
As did I. But I mean, a lot of people, they just haven't gotten,
They're going to start trying it now.
You're going to have to. I mean, read this article. Yeah. Talk to your buddies and have an email chat with your buddies about where the cheapest milk in town is.
Well, that's the thing, Conan. I mean, it's only worth so much time and effort to go and run around. Like if your time's limited, busy.
And how much fuel did you spend driving all the other
side
of town?
Right. So, picking a cheaper store overall and not running to four different stores and spending the whole day. So, but you might save $5 if you run around the whole town, but then you've spent, an extra 3 hours. So Pharrell Goldman, a 45-year-old enforcement supervisor in New York, says he used to consider $1,800 for rent a very reasonable price to pay, but now he's looking to move for the first time in years, and he's noticed rents have skyrocketed. He might have once recoiled at the priciness of some of the places that he's browsing, but he said now he's trying to accept that these higher rents are here to stay, and his $1,800 benchmark is no longer the norm.
Get the hell out of New York, man.
That would be a good first step. I suspect he's getting not much more than a small room for $1,800 in New York City. That sounds like, a closet
Yeah, there was some article I read a few weeks ago or a few months ago that was essentially about that. It was the price of rent in New York City and just large cities in New York and
large cities in general. Look at some of these horror stories like in Japan.
How insane some of the rents are and what you get for some of those rents. I mean, some of them you end up basically in a bedroom that used to be a bathroom that's now been converted into a bedroom. Mm. So I mean, it's a tiny, tiny amount of space, and it's $1,400 a month or $1,800 a month or something like that. So yeah, this guy paying $1,800 a month, it was probably a studio apartment, one bedroom,
and
no
then what,
kitchen.
And then what do you get from all this? You get these YouTube stars who are like glorifying tiny house living and tiny apartment living, and look what I can do with this much space.
Well,
and
everyone's like, ooh, that's cool. Kitchen,
and I'm over here, I'm like,
better.
Man, where do you store your tools at?
Those people don't need tools.
Well, exactly. So
what do they need a tool for? They're in an apartment building, the apartment complex.
And what happens? They are reliant on someone else to survive. And I'm over here, I'm like, cut out. If you want to save money, cut out the middleman.
A lot of them don't even go to the grocery store.
Then you don't have to work but 2 days a week, which is the way that I do it. So, but of course, I spend the rest of the week doing my own work, you know, fixing my own car and growing my own food and
they
the whole nine.
They don't even have cars, Conan.
That's
it's
another.
A city life, man. It's a completely different existence.
And when the food runs out, you're stuck in the city and it's going to be harsh.
Yeah.
You're literally, you're going to be eating each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might not be.
They'll eat the dogs and cats first.
Oh, God.
Just look at China. They're going to be pounding the dogs over the head with a cast iron skillet, and they're going to be stewing them up for supper that night.
Do you see the? Well, I don't know what they're doing with those bodies. That's an interesting question.
They're almost certainly going to come back in a few days. Hey guys, look, we found some meat for you to eat.
If they're really afraid, here's the question: are all the dogs and those cats being rounded up? Is it because the owners have been shipped off in boxcars to quarantine camps, or are the animals suspected of having COVID?
No,
it's hard to say.
If that's the case, then I don't think they'd be allowed to consume them.
I got to tell you, man, as someone who, you know, I would die for my two cats, right? But
sure.
if I was living in Shanghai in these circumstances, those cats have their best chance if I just open the door and let them go. That's their best chance of survival.
Why would you say that?
In a city,
because
yeah.
I can't feed them. Mm. I can't even feed myself, so I've got nothing for the cats to eat. Their best chance is to go out there and try to hunt some birds or some mice or something.
I would say in a city, a cat will go feral real quick and survive.
Yeah, I imagine my cats would come back each day.
Not against the five dogs. I saw a video from Shanghai where they had five dogs, like a pack of dogs, where literally there was one cat being passed around and like shaken and killed by these crazed dogs because there's no humans around to take care of the dogs. So everything's going back to nature.
Wow. So the cats went out to eat. Right,
the dogs, dogs went out to eat.
Yeah.
And the owner said, okay, well, we can't do anything with these dogs either, so let's turn them
loose. The story was, the reason why these dogs are on the street is because the humans are taken to the quarantine camps.
Which is probably true to a degree, but it's also true that the people can't, if you can't feed yourself, you can't feed your dog.
Yeah, well, give it another couple of weeks, and that pack of dogs is probably not going to be around anymore.
I suspect so.
Not because the authorities came after them, but because, hungry citizens.
People.
There's a lot of people in Shanghai.
Well, there was some video of people that were rampaging into a grocery store. So people are starting to come out of their houses, although I also saw footage in the last couple of days of military members being called into the city. So things may get really ugly.
The grocery stores still have food, and the people are just obeying and staying at home while they're starving?
Exactly. The fact that so many millions of people are complying with this new lockdown.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know, did you play the video of them wailing?
It's horrifying.
You just hear just forever, just hundreds of people wailing.
There's nothing like it. It's just absolutely terrifying.
Because they were just told that the lockdown that they were, the five-day lockdown that they were going to put
it's
up with.
It's now 20-something days.
It's now even, it's another week.
Yeah.
And they've already been locked in their homes for at least 10 days.
Yeah.
But why are they complying?
Because they're city dwellers and they've grown used to it. It's not that simple. It's because their neighbors will comply. And if you go out there, you're going to get caught by one of these white coat gangs.
It'll hurt your credit system.
They're not going to hurt. They're going to break your skull. They're going to cave your skull in with a 2x4.
Arya,
right?
They outnumber the authorities 100-1.
Yes,
only
but your neighbor,
out,
your neighbors aren't
that's
coming
where, that's
out.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going with this.
No, you neglected
that.
You
wait till these guys are hungry. They're going to come
out.
They
are hungry.
With their 100-1, and they are going to stomp these cops.
No, it's the same reason those planes went down on 9/11, man. Or it's the same reason nobody stood up to fight the hijackers, even though they knew they were going to die.
Well, we'll see.
One plane probably did.
Well, once people start getting hungry, people are going to start coming out. And that's what we saw a little bit of over the weekend. And that's, I think, why they're calling in the military to try to put a stop to it. We'll see what goes on. We'll update you. Hour 2's coming up.
Insight Daily Radio. Conversations with today's most interesting artists and creators. Author, humorist, and radio personality Garrison Keillor has been a fixture in popular culture since the 1970s. With more than 30 best-selling books and his Prairie Home Companion radio program. And he has a new book entitled Boomtown, a Lake Wobegon novel. We caught up with Garrison to chat about his new book and the creative journey that continues to bring Lake Wobegon to life.
On a Prairie Home Companion, I would write the news from Lake Wobegon. I would write it usually on Thursday and Friday. And on Saturday morning at the theater, I would look at it. It was about 5 pages, single space. I looked at it, I read it through, and then I set it aside, and I walked out on stage, and I had 18 or 20 minutes in which to do this, and it worked. You improvise from something you have written, and you leave out, you instinctively leave out the parts that mean less, and you go to the parts that mean more.
That's author and humorist Garrison Keillor, whose new book, Boomtown, a Lake Wobegon novel, has just been released and is now available wherever books are sold.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of the program here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
Whether you want to comment on what's going on in Shanghai, if there are any updates on that, the inflation numbers at a 40-year record high, or whatever happens to be on your mind. Coming up, Conan's got the top 10 survival foods. We'll get into that. And Aria, you wanted to talk about de-dollarization, I believe, tonight, right?
I do. It's one of my favorite topics these days.
Yeah, it's something I think we can all look forward to. Maybe sooner rather than later.
There are a few
lucky
things I'm looking forward to as much as the prospect of de-dollarization, as they're calling it.
Indeed. And the other thing I had here we're sort of wondering out loud, like, how many people are buying the Putin price hike claims from the Biden administration, buying that the prices going up are all due to Putin? Well, according to a poll here from, where is this, ABC News, ABC Ipsos poll conducted over the last, I think, week or so, April 8th and 9th is when they did this poll. They asked people a bunch of questions. How many, for instance, support tighter economic sanctions on Russia? 79% say they support even more sanctions against Russia. 7% oppose it. 13% they don't know. 63% say they accept refugees into the United States from Ukraine. 70% say they support sending additional U.S. weapons and equipment to Ukraine. Sending troops to nearby European countries, you go to 53% supporting that, 22% against, and 24% say they don't know. And then the big question, sending U.S. troops to Ukraine, thankfully, only 17% of Americans support that.
Oh, well, good. Now, let me go back to
still,
this.
I'm shocked that it's as high as 17%.
Let me go back to the accepting refugees and sending armaments.
Yeah.
All right. If you told them in the same poll, oh, by the way, the refugees are coming to live at your house and the armaments are coming from this amount of tax dollars that are coming out of your pocket, and I can assure you
would change
it would change that tune real quick. But I am happy about that 17% refusing to send our children and your brothers and sisters and sons and daughters
right
over to this nonsense war, which probably isn't even taking place.
What was the refugee acceptance rate again?
Like 70-80%?
Yes, 63%, sorry.
And would you get
63% if you told those same people that those refugees were coming from south of the border?
Oh, another good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Wait, what color is their skin? Mm-hmm. Let's just put it like that, and you see those numbers flipped on their heads.
Only, by the way, on the Ukraine refugee question, only 19% opposed it. 17% say they didn't know.
And I'd also like to see that broken down into a political affiliation.
I was surprised they didn't have that in here, but they don't in this case.
Because I found the latest Canadian poll that does talk about not political affiliation, but vaccine status.
Mm-hmm.
And the very interesting, the more vaccines, three or more doses, much, much more likely, 86% and up, to support the Russian sanctions, to support taking money from Russian oligarchs, and to cutting off oil shipments from Russia.
Yep.
Whereas the unvaccinated, which is a very small amount in Canada, which is very small.
They're
which
more
is,
skeptical.
Extremely. Yep. Like, so we had 86% were in favor of sanctions. Unvaccinated peoples, 13% yep. were in favor of sanctions.
It also, college degrees are a factor, too. So people that are more, quote-unquote, educated are more likely to support invasions and stuff in Ukraine.
So
really?
You're going to make Dan from Nebraska call.
Because master's degrees were more likely to be skeptical of vaccines in this country.
Really?
Yeah. Now, bachelor's and below, that middle ground... so it's like it's a weird Dunning-Kruger kind of a system where uneducated college or high school dropouts, less likely vaccinating, more vaccine hesitant, and master's degree and up, more likely to be vaccine hesitant in this country.
You said this article from Canada cited fully vaccinated as three or more shots?
Correct.
I don't think I even know anyone with three shots.
I think they're including the booster.
I know that. They're including the booster, but I don't think I know a single person who's been boosted.
Well, Kathleen Griffith has been boosted with her fourth shot, and she got a dozen tests.
That, but I don't know her.
No, she's a celebrity, and she's got that celebrity clout.
Yeah, they want the celebrities to get boosted for sure. Imposing a no-fly zone over Ukraine, even if it could mean drawing the U.S. and its allies into direct military conflict with Russia, only 27% of Americans supported that. And by the way, that is down. So they did the same poll in March, so early March, back kind of the very beginning of the whole Ukraine situation. 31% supported the no-fly zone. It is now down to 27%.
I wonder why that changed like that.
Opposed.
Ukraine started winning.
Well, and by the how are they? I thought they've just been talking about.
They're not winning.
I think it's just kind of a stalemate right now.
You can't believe what the media says.
I was just speculating.
Yeah. Oppose. 38% say they oppose the no-fly zone, and that's up from March, where it was 34%. 34% say they don't know. So that number is actually the same from March to April, 34%. So there you go. But the reason I pulled up this poll was, what about the price increases in gasoline? They look at who to blame. 33% say they blame Joe Biden a great deal. So they ask separate questions. So Joe Biden, 33% say a great deal, 18% a good amount. Actually, they total
so nearly
it up here.
50%.
So 51% say a great deal or a good amount. And
that's
then,
silly. Biden doesn't have a whole lot to do with the gas prices.
Yeah, he is as much responsible for this gas hike as Putin is. There are so many factors involved in this, and it's you can't blame one person.
Donald Trump.
Biden sucks.
How many blame Donald Trump?
24% blame him either a great deal or a good amount. So for whatever reason, they're not blaming Trump as much. Democratic Party policies got blamed a great deal or good amount by 52% of Americans. Republican Party policies blamed 33% by a great deal or a good amount. And oil companies getting 68% saying they blame them a great deal or a good amount. And finally, Russian President Vladimir Putin, 71% of Americans say they blame him a great deal or a good amount, and then the other categories are not much or not at all, and that's 29% in total.
Let's remind everyone, they were supplying the U.S. with like 2%
right
of our fuel, and everyone else, now Europe, that's they're getting their oil from Russia, but we weren't getting our oil
not
from
that
there.
Much. So there you go.
71%
that's
are blaming
right.
Putin.
71%. And they talked to, that's a relatively small sample, 530 adults, 18 or older.
Well, when you listen to Jen Psaki every day and she's coming out talking about Putin's playbook.
Who the hell listens to these people? People listen to Jen Psaki?
No, but her little snippets, her little sound bites are taken up by
the mainstream.
The mainstream,
media.
And they play them over and over and over again.
Putin price hike. That's the thing, right? Propaganda is all about the same message, the lie, over and over again.
If you repeat the lie enough times,
people will believe it. That's what Goebbels said. Yeah.
And I mean, it's clearly true that this was not a Putin price hike. Vladimir Putin never had anything to do with this.
So the propaganda is absolutely working on people, and it's sad, man.
And 71% of people now are saying, oh, this is Putin's fault, even though back in January, gas prices were going up.
Yeah, but they've been going up, and the price of everything's been going up, so they're going to also blame Putin for the price of a steak going up and the price of a granola bar.
My granola bar being shrunk.
Yeah.
At some point last year, I don't remember when it was, October, maybe November, I went to Ohio to pick up two cats, and someone remarked to me on Facebook that, that's amazing considering what gas prices are at these days.
Right.
So gas prices were going up long ago.
Oh, yeah. They expect people to forget that, and apparently it's working.
That propaganda, man, is powerful.
If they ever even knew it. You say forget. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's new information, man. And
no, I think they knew. They just willingly forget. Day to day, they forget what happened the day before. Just like, we were never at war with Eurasia. Mm. We were always at war with East Asia.
We got more coming up here. We're going to get into your story about the de-dollarization. There are a lot of indicators out there that this may actually come to pass sooner rather than later. And I welcome it.
As long as it's a currency that we can control, and not being controlled by we, as in the consumer, as in the user, and not some government.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But
they're
trying.
Every country's wanting to bring out their own digital dollar.
You can't control that. There's more coming up here. We'll talk about it. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can join us. It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian here.
Aria.
And Conan.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. You ready to learn about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash, crypto in general? Get on over to Bitcoin.com. Click Get Started at the top of the page, and you'll find some useful introductory style videos. You can watch the first ones, all the 3 minutes long, so you can head over there and start the process of learning about cryptocurrency. And if you're ready to get into crypto and buy a little bit, then you can do that through Bitcoin.com as well. They got a bunch of useful features there, including their news website at news.bitcoin.com. Once again, that's news.bitcoin.com. We continue here. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts, and then Aria will tell us about de-dollarization, plus on the way, the top 10 survival foods. Conan's got that story, but first, it's Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live, Major. Major?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Most people, I think, believe in a higher power, and there is a sign today that says that the Almighty is not happy with the White House or the current administration.
Oh,
I don't know if you remember back when John the Baptist in the good book, when he baptized Jesus, supposedly a dove hovered over Jesus's head. Well, today what happened was, Joe Biden was pushing America, and he's out in front of a bunch of John Deere tractors trying to sell his baloney. And as soon as he said the words "Made in America," a bird pooped on his lapel.
Oh, nice. You got to love that. I'll have to look for that video. Sounds like fun.
I thought that was for cheering.
Is John Deere truly made in America, or are just assembled in America?
I believe they still are.
Are the parts bought in China and assembled here?
I don't know about outsourced parts, but I'm pretty sure they manufacture most of it here.
Now, why is he even going to a bunch of John Deere drivers? Those are not the type of people who would give Biden the 2 cents.
Because he was trying to sell the whole "Made in America" precept. Now we still had it all going on, all this outsourcing, there's a bunch of hooey and whatnot. He's just trying to confound the people, spread another lie, take the attention span of the normal Nat American, and distract it long enough to where it's all don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
It's all we know. It's all theater.
This is a midterm election year, right?
Midterm.
That's correct.
Okay. Correct.
For, well,
that's
for the, all the governors that. And whatnot.
Yeah.
Not for the president. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Major Payne, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. Probably the executives at John Deere are the types of people that donate to both the Democrats and the Republicans. And the folks that work the assembly line probably don't appreciate Joe Biden, would be my guess.
No. And even a bunch of unioners. Mm. Who supposedly Biden is. That's what his claim to fame is. Even they are having issue with him.
Toll free, 603-283-6160. Let's get into the de-dollarization story, Aria, that you've been wanting to cover here tonight.
Yeah, because it starts out crazy, right? 2022 started with a surging Omicron variant.
From where?
This is from The Hill.
The Hill, okay.
I barely even remember this. I have some recollections just from the name, and it reminded me of Futurama. But
they're up to like the third or fourth Omicron right now. Variant.
I know, they're like SA.B2 or whatever.
They're just playing battleship at this point. I think they're up to G or something.
A new scary name is what they need. Numbers aren't going to cut it.
Yeah, the numbers aren't cutting it at all. But I mean, maybe they've realized they've lost the narrative, and it's not really something they believe in anymore. I mean, we got Ukraine, man.
Well, they never actually tried Doomsday variant.
Omega?
No, I mean just straight up call it Doomsday.
Yeah,
variant.
That wouldn't work. Omega would work, but not Doomsday. That's Marvel Comics or something. Who is Doomsday? Is he DC or Marvel?
I have no clue.
Yeah, me either, man. That's a Mark question. So a few weeks in, providing a respite, the variant subsided around the globe. However, as if the world was deprived of tragedy and was rejoicing for too long, weeks later, that reminds me, we never got into that article about, what was it, the perma-crisis that I had a few weeks ago?
No. Perma?
Yes.
P-E-R-M-A?
As in permanent crisis.
It's a term they're using over in Europe. We did look at it. I don't know if it was on the air. But
I think we posted it to the Mastodon.
Basically, ours started 2001, November 11th?
No.
We've basically been a permit crisis ever since?
It seems like a more recent terminology, but it's something that the mainstream media has been using over in Europe to keep people frightened, calling it a perma crisis.
By the way, Doomsday is DC.
And now American media is like, the world was deprived of tragedy and was rejoicing for too long. You know, we got away from the perma crisis for too long. Weeks later, Russia invaded Ukraine, leading to death and destruction in Ukraine and economic turmoil around the globe. No, again, the sanctions did that.
That's a good point.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine is not comparable to any other invasion in history.
What?
Wait, man, I don't write this stuff.
Wait, where's this coming from again?
The Hill.
The Hill.
Oh, God.
Due to its geoeconomic significance, both Ukraine and Russia are leading exporters of commodities such as crude, natural gas, iron, steel, wheat, and edible oils.
And fertilizer.
That have a direct impact on the inflation levels in major world economies. While economists were concerned about a significant drop in consumption levels arising from COVID-19-related lockdowns because they weren't asking their mailmen what sort of, you know, deliveries they were making and whether or not consumption levels were actually down, the suppression of demand sending crude prices to $0 per barrel 2 years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do too
now.
That was
so crazy.
I had forgotten about that. Man, they were paying people to store oil. And now look, just 2 years later, wow. It's a crazy world, man. Now they are concerned about the opposite. Skyrocketing crude prices touching more than $130 per barrel and natural gas hitting $5.7 per metric million British thermal units.
I found less than $4 gas today when I was traveling up to Plymouth for Joe's court hearing. Our friend Breaking the Flaw had a court hearing today.
If you're going up north, you should stop in Walpole. They have the cheapest gas in the area.
Oh, is that right?
I think I paid $3.89 the other day.
Yeah, it was about I think it was actually $3.89 what I paid today.
Good. Not good, but
well,
I mean, I thought, hey,
what a deal.
I know, right? You've been conditioned from the, you know, you're rejoicing because you're no longer in the perma fixture. What was it called again? Perma what?
Perma crisis.
Perma crisis. Perma crisis.
Yes.
I don't live in a perma crisis. I don't buy that crap at all.
There were also price increases on wheat, edible oils. I have no idea. That's twice they've said edible oils without giving a single example.
I presume cooking oil.
Yeah.
It must be cooking oils.
Okay. And other commodities with the potential to directly impact the average Joe, not just in the U.S. and Western world, but in the global South, where inflation shocks are even more acute. Adding fuel to the fire, the U.S. chose the worst possible weapon to deter Russia.
Sanctions.
Economic sanctions.
Yeah, well, I agree with him on that one.
And that wasn't accidental, right? They weren't trying to deter Russia. They were trying to
start a war.
Yeah. I mean, that's what sanctions are.
This is the same damn thing they did with Japan. And guess what you got?
A war.
You got Pearl Harbor.
By sanctioning Russia, the world's third largest producer of crude and largest supplier of wheat.
They're now the most sanctioned country in the world, by the way. There was something about that the other day, that they're sanctioned more than Iran, more than North Korea.
More than North Korea.
And
wow.
And yet they're
impressive.
Still buying their oil.
Yeah.
If they can. I mean, their country, I know Germany's one of them. It's like, we shouldn't be buying their oil, but what else are you going to do? Because your stupid windmills don't work.
There's more on the way here. 603-283-6160. The de-dollarization of the world. Is it no longer going to be the reserve currency? We certainly hope so. It'd be nice to see a more resilient market of multiple options instead of everybody leaning on the almighty dollar, which is falling in its value, which is always, it always has since they took away the gold backing. There's more coming up here. It's just falling faster now. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Aria,
and Conan.
And you can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. You can help us out like Dan Kraftzig has done. He is a gold-level supporter of the AMPS Patreon. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Free Talk Live, you get some cool perks, you get some benefits for joining up over on our Patreon. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com. You'll find it there. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Aria, you are sharing with us a story from The Hill about the de-dollarization of the world economy. Let's talk about more about that.
Yeah, so the last thing they said was that the economic sanctions are one of the least likely things to have an effect on Russia. They're not likely to deter Russia. Worse, the U.S. has probably set off dynamite that could burst into a recession in the next 6 months.
The opposite may actually be true. Some polls are showing the Russian people are actually galvanizing behind Putin. And
that's generally what sanctions do. I mean, if they tried to, that's what happened with 9/11, right? It caused Americans to go, "Oh, you're right. We shouldn't be invading Middle Eastern countries." Mm-hmm. Instead, they were like, "No, invade more Middle Eastern countries."
Right.
None of these acts of aggression ever achieve their desired effect. They just create a desire for vengeance.
Yes. Unless you're trying to sell munitions, and then this is beautiful.
Yeah, some people seem to believe that sanctions are going to somehow turn the people against their own politicians.
Nope,
and
they never
it just
do.
Doesn't happen.
It hardens them. It hardens them, and it makes them hate you.
The rest of the world.
The rest of the world, and not necessarily their leaders.
However, the long-term challenge for the U.S. will be to keep the crown on the U.S. dollar's head as the leading global reserve / fiat currency. Like that death knell has already sounded.
You think so?
Yeah, the U.S. dollar with the Chinese Indian rupee thing going on with India and Russia and China.
There's a lot of talk. Russia has said that they are only going to take the Russian ruble. So rupee's India. The Russian ruble is only going to be accepted by for unfriendly countries, quote unquote. So that's the European Union countries, that's South Korea, Japan, the United States. Anybody that wants to buy oil from Russia is going to have to pay in the Russian currency. That is something that they have officially said, but the deadline they set, the 31st of last month, blew by and they had to push it out some more weeks until they can get all
their virtue signaling was a bit
together.
Ahead of their actual capabilities. But
I take gold as well.
They're taking Bitcoin. And I think they will take gold. If you're going to take Bitcoin, you're probably going to take
gold. I know they've been buying it, hoarding up for many years now.
So once that does actually happen, it hasn't happened yet from what I understand, that will be the first real domino,
really matters whether it has happened yet or not. Like, the USD has always had its status as the world reserve currency because it was the top one. It was the top currency for the entire world. Every country used it as their reserve currency, as their international trading currency. Mm-hmm. So now you have already competing currencies. The U.S. dollar is no longer the only one, even if no one's actually using it at this point.
Yeah, you're right. The market will respond to those announcements immediately, whether or not they are put into play. And I'll have to pull up the Russian versus USD chart, because as Putin invaded, the Russian ruble fell against the dollar, but it came back and it actually went back up above where it was prior to the invasion recently. So I don't know where it has been in the last week. I'll check that.
And I certainly don't expect the USD to just collapse overnight or, you know, probably not even in the next few years as a result of this. But the decline has started. I mean, that's it. This is the moment where the decline of the USD reaches the point of no return. So the long-term challenge, they say, is going to be to keep the crown on the U.S. dollar's head. But the unilateral sanctions of the West against Russia had the unintended consequence of raising inflation levels in Europe, East Africa, and South Asia.
Yeah, I'm not buying unintended. I'm not buying that at all. This was all by plan. They knew what they were doing.
I don't know. They're pretty incompetent. I mean, they're smart, but I don't know if they're smart enough and capable enough to be able to predict the consequences of something like this on a global scale.
Yeah, Biden isn't, but his handlers are. I'm sure that they knew exactly what was up with these sanctions because we have history telling us what sanctions actually do long term.
So Europe, East Africa, and South Asia are the largest importers of Russian wheat and energy. Given that seeking alternatives and establishing substitute supply chains takes time and capital, most economies are establishing different mechanisms to circumvent the sanctions. These range from using barter trade to trading in their own currencies over the dollar. Oh. So evidently, some of these countries in East Africa, South Asia, and Europe are trading with Russia already in their own currencies instead of the U.S. dollar as they were using, you know, 6 months ago.
And you know what else helps? Being the size of Russia being self-sufficient and not needing your nonsense and have been actually preparing for this for years and years. Mm-hmm. Screw your sanctions. We drill our own oil. We have our own fertilizer. We have our own food. We don't need the rest of you. You throw as many sanctions as you want at us. It's not going to work.
And they're still friendly with China, so you know they need computer chips or whatever. They can still cross the border.
Absolutely.
So the latter, which is using other currencies over the USD, is igniting a debate on the use of the dollar for global trade. Not necessarily among America's steadfast allies, but more so with countries that are on the fence about America's global interventions. Countries like Brazil, China, South Africa, and India that are part of the BRICS grouping. And there's a highlight here that would allow me to see what that stands for, but it doesn't seem important. They make up more than 24% of world gross domestic product and 16% of world trade. Similarly, in Africa, which makes up about 3% of global GDP and is predicted to grow 6 times in size by 2050, many countries will likely reconsider dollar trade. Developing nations and emerging markets economies cannot easily absorb inflation shocks. Well, no economy can. The only reason the United States has absorbed these 10% inflation levels for as long as it has is because of its status as the world reserve currency.
Yeah, it helps it.
Yeah. And a few
it
of these
can spread that out amongst the rest of the planet, basically.
So that the people in South Asia are eating some of the inflation and the people in the United States aren't feeling quite all of it.
Right.
In a few of these economies, rising inflation levels could lead to a balance of payment crisis and even the toppling of their respective governments. Hence, it is natural for these economies to seek ways to circumvent America's sanctions. Even Europe, one that is part of the Western Alliance, has sought ruble-euro trade arrangements to prevent any disruptions in Russian gas supply. From Europe's standpoint, in particular from Italy's and Germany's, Russian gas keeps factories running and homes lit. Without Russian gas, their economies would come to a standstill. Therefore,
well, they can buy the gas somewhere else. It's just going to be more expensive.
It's going to be more expensive. They have to set up those supply lines. They have to build the pipes to get it in and all of that other stuff that they were talking about, plus money.
But they've got all those windmills. I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me. They turned off their nukes. They built more windmills. What's wrong here?
Moreover, this experience could place Europe at a crossroads, prioritize the transatlantic alliance, and blindly bandwagon the U.S., even if it were to cost it economically or put European economic interests first over relations with its transatlantic partner. I think the obvious answer is that Europe should put Europe first. The impacts of these sanctions are even more profound in the global south. For example, India imports more than 80% of its crude demand, and the rise in prices will convert to inflation and even a balance of payment crisis. That's twice they've used that without explaining it. What is a balance of payment crisis? If it buys at current market levels. Understandably, when Russia offered to sell its crude at around a 30% discount to the market price, it was rational for the government to consider that proposal. So evidently, in order to get around some of these sanctions or whatever they were doing, Russia was like, hey, we'll give you... we'll
price break? Yeah,
30% off, man.
Yeah, it's going to... that's an incentive.
I can't imagine America would, the average American would mind 30% off their gas prices at this point. Earlier this month in his speech, Putin spoke of diversifying reserve currencies to national currencies, gold, and other commodities. It may not just be Russia that would consider diversifying reserves. Countries in East Africa and South Asia that have been indirectly impacted by the sanctions and could very well be facing secondary sanctions will look toward other assets.
So a secondary sanction would be where they're going to be punished for still trading with Russia, right?
Yes.
The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's a very dangerous game that is being played by the United States, and it may not end in their favor. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want to discuss, whether it's inflation or the de-dollarization of the world economy. Is it coming? Is it imminent? If so, how soon? Is it going to happen? I think it's a great thing if that does occur. It will definitely give people more options on the world scene. It would be even better if more countries started to adopt cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin as their national legal tender without doing it through force like they did in El Salvador. At least in theory, they can threaten force on people if they don't accept Bitcoin. We hear that they might be doing that in, not St. Kitts, St. Martin, which is the island north of St. Kitts, where the prime minister has begun taking his entire paycheck in Bitcoin Cash.
Nice.
And he's apparently the first politician in the world to actually do this. The New York City new mayor said he was going to take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and then I guess go back to dollars. So whoopee-doo.
Hmm.
But this guy is now saying he's going to take his full paycheck. He's made the order. It's official. It's a done deal. And he is now talking about, you know, getting some sort of a legal tender thing through and has specified that his proposal would be that it would be a voluntary order instead of a mandatory thing.
See, I'm still not a fan of that. I like the idea of, I mean, you know, freeing up your nation if they want to use whatever currency they want. Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be ideal. But worst case scenario, each nation has their own individual currency or group of currencies that they use. And Bitcoin is just sort of the reserve currency throughout the world that they use to, you know, measure their currencies against one another. You know, one Bitcoin is worth, you know, 50,000 Russian rubles or 47,000 USD, and you use that to gauge the relationship between the USD and the ruble, which is what a reserve currency is supposed to do.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Don't know if that's going to happen, though.
That's what I would like to see, yeah. Right?
But as more smaller countries start to adopt cryptocurrencies as legal tender, that is going to help those folks stay more financial or fiscally sound.
Certainly.
And that's a good thing for them. So I want to see more of that happen. It hasn't really, you know, taken off since El Salvador was the first. There hasn't really been a second yet.
Well, El Salvador screwed it up so badly.
Yeah, they really botched it.
If they cannot, the problem is being able to print as much money as you need to fund your wars.
That's what we want. We want them to not be able to do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why if more of these countries start to adopt a currency that is finite, like Bitcoin, then that will prevent them from funding wars and funding projects that they wouldn't otherwise be able to unless they could just print up some money.
That's why you're only likely going to see that happen in the countries that do not have their own currency. So El Salvador was one of those. They were using the dollar. And so adopting Bitcoin was no skin off their back because it's not going to hurt their central bank. They don't have one.
Right.
But the countries with central banks, of course, are near to, you know, there's no chance they're going to adopt cryptocurrency as any kind of legal
tender. No, they want to create their own.
Yeah, they're
version.
Not going to undermine that for a moment.
And I have a list here of a lot of the countries who've been at least thinking about, or at least have names for their currencies that they want to implement. They want to foust onto the peoples.
You talking about a CBDC, central bank digital currency, or something else?
I don't know how many of these countries are hand in hand with the central banks, but I know that. Here's the list of them: Dubai,
okay.
Who do they work with?
India.
Venezuela, Petro. Estonia, Estcoin. You have Russia.
Estonia, this is not the first time we've heard of them. They got something going on with Bitcoin as well. I don't recall exactly what it is.
They call it EST, E-S-T coin.
I could be mistaken.
Russia's got their crypto ruble. Sweden's got their e-krona.
Apparently, Estonia didn't, that thing didn't happen, according to CNBC story from 2018. Estonia says it won't issue a national cryptocurrency and never planned to.
Mm. Japan as J-coin.
Where is this coming from?
This is Kalkine Media.
Yeah, it sounds like rumors.
These are all old projects from back in 2017, so I'm wondering how many of these, like the Estonia one, just didn't get up off the ground. But I know our Fed,
just recently, last year, they've been talking
about it for years, but they really want their own digital currency, and they want to be able to give UBI out to the folks. They want to get the stimmy checks via this new digital currency.
I want to go to Stephen here. We'll get back into de-dollarizing the world economy. Stephen is on the line in Georgia. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Stephen. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey. So I just wanted to, comment on something that was said earlier. Y'all were talking about inflation. And one of the gentlemen on the show mentioned that he has Mylar buckets with wheat and corn. Or I didn't hear what he said. I think he said rice.
Rice, beans, but, you name it.
Corn, wheat.
But I do have corn, but I don't have it stored in Mylar. But I'm going through it so fast. It's for the chickens. Hmm. But I have ground up my own corn and make corn flour.
Yeah, I was about to say corn will make corn bread and all sorts of good stuff. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be dark or anything. But there may come a time where, like, that's the only thing you have to eat. And
that's he knows what, that. That's why
that's,
storing
that's why
it.
I have it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I don't think a lot of libertarians and a lot of anarchists and a lot of volunteerists think that far. So
I don't think people in general do this. I've been gardening in my yard for almost 10 years now. All of my neighbors, okay. I have at least 500 people in my neighborhood. And they all, at least one side of the neighborhood, they walk through there, they drive past it, they see me out there, they come in and comment, they say, good job, I like what you're doing here. No one is gardening in my neighborhood. I'm the only one.
I do a show with you every week, and I'm not gardening.
I know, that's what I'm saying. No one has caught on, and of course, I have a bullseye on myself. Here I am going to be talking about foods you should be growing, talking about my Mylar stored food. I have a bullseye all over me. People know who I am. They're going to be coming for me. The first wave might not make it through, but if there's enough of them,
zombies.
Here's the first thing. Here's number one rule of being a prepper.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody you're a prepper. But I'm doing it because I'm trying to enlighten people.
Stephen, what else you got? Go ahead.
Off-site storage location, have a fallback area. Move everything right now, bud. Just move it all.
Yeah, but Conan's cheap. He's not going to go out and get a storage unit.
What I'll probably do is I'll probably hire co-host Matt to come help protect me. I need a mercenary.
Okay.
So if I have to leave the property, I'll have Matt there, and he's got guns.
You can take him off my property?
I'll pay him in beans and peanuts.
I was about to say, you can just pay him in food at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Pay him in bullets.
You can have, when I'm at work, Matt goes to my house, and when I come home, we just got to work on and
off. We'll
have the schedule.
Thanks, Stephen, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The numbers.
Where would you be going in the event of an economic collapse, right, where you're worried about, people?
You realize what I do for a living. When there's a lockdown, I am the only person on the streets delivering your crap.
There was no lockdown in New Hampshire.
At a time when you're worried about having to shoot your neighbors because they're starving to death, no one's going to be ordering stuff on Amazon, dude. you're not going to have anything to deliver. Society will be collapsing. I deliver to the rich town.
It's all nothing but richers there. They have money.
And they will get eaten by the poor people who rob them before they rob you.
Well, in that case, I'll get to stay at home and I'll get a day off.
That's all I'm saying is that I don't think you'll be clocking in to do your shit.
I don't know if it's going to be that bad where you got zombies actually eating each other, like I always joke about.
Well, that's what happened in the French Revolution. They didn't eat the rich, but they broke in and took all their stuff and killed them.
I'm not rich.
No, but you're the people you deliver mail to are. They'll be the first to go.
Actually, I might actually have all the information. I might set up a website and say, this is where you need to go, guys.
Right?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Do a good public service, man.
No, I'm actually more concerned with like riffraffery, burglary, just petty crime.
Yeah, it's going to start with people...
just coming over the fence and stealing a couple tomatoes or an apple.
Stealing gas out of your tank. That's what's going to happen first.
Well, they got to get up my driveway first. Yeah. That's actually happening.
Has that happened?
You heard about the guys who parked? They had a van. They parked over one of the gas fuel cells, and gas parking lot. Yeah. And they have those wells are buried underground, and they have the little spigots at the top. Mm-hmm. They got in there, opened one up, and they siphoned their hoses down there, and they siphoned the gas
Where did this happen?
This happened a couple weeks ago.
Where?
I'll find out in the break.
New Hampshire or somewhere?
No, somewhere else.
That's crazy. That has to be California, man.
There was another one where the guy switched the pump handles, and sat there and waited for another customer to drive up on the other side of the island and started pumping his gas into the other dude's vehicle.
Wow.
That guy got caught.
I imagine it would be easy to catch when your hose is wrapped around to the other guy's vehicle, right?
Unless you don't notice.
The number, 603-283-6160. You can share your thoughts. Hour 3's on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Kicking off the third hour here. The phones are open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
We can talk further about de-dollarization of the world economy. Further, also, we're going to get into the top 10 survival crops. Conan's going to share that with us on the way. This hour, we're also going to your phone calls about whatever's on your mind at 603-283-6160. And we go back to those phones where Dominic is on the line calling us from West Virginia. Dominic, go ahead.
Hey, I didn't mean to call in to you guys. It's been on my mind for a few days now. But I have a dog, and my dog has been having... behavior issues lately. So I took her to the vet, and the vet talked to me about putting my dog on Prozac.
Hire a trainer.
What kind of behavior issues are we talking about?
Well, I've had her for about 6 months. She's probably a year and a half now.
Okay.
Getting her nails cut, places won't do that because she just throws a fit. She's very defensive, and when guests come over my house, they're very defensive too. So it's what's funny.
When None of that's kids, depression, though. That's just the dog needing to be trained. All respect to vets and what they do. If my animals are sick, then I need to take them to the vet. But if my animals are having behavioral issues, I need to contact someone who is an expert in getting that animal to behave in the way that I want. And that's going to be a trainer, not a vet.
Yeah, get a hold of Caesar Milan.
Fun fact, the trainer that I use for my dog actually has worked with Caesar Milan. And he actually has worked recently with a pit bull who was put on Prozac because...
Wow.
The pit bull was in a home with like 14 other little tiny terriers that were untrained and they would just bark and yip and behave badly until the pit bull was like, all right, it's time to put you in your place, and would bite one of them. Wouldn't injure them or try to kill them. It would just bite them. And they're like, oh, the dog's got behavioral problems. We need to put it on Prozac. And the trainer came in and was like, no, look, the dog is doing exactly what the dog is trained
supposed to do.
What the problem is that you've got these 14 Dominating. Other terriers around here that are completely running wild, and it's driving your other bigger dog crazy because he's supposed to be in control, and you're not allowing him to control. No one's controlling this environment.
Now, was the vet trying to push this on you, or was he just mentioning it as an option?
The vet wrote me a prescription wrote my dog a prescription for Prozac, said, oh, put her on this, and He also mentioned training, to be fair.
Okay.
But,
did the vet try to tell you that your dog suffers from depression or something? Why Prozac?
Anxiety.
I have never in my life met a dog that suffers from anxiety.
I don't know about this vet. How long have you had this vet in your life?
Well, not long, because I've just moved recently. Mm. But here's the deal. When I was a kid, I laughed when I heard that one of my cousins was paying to put their dog on antidepressants. And I did research on this, and this isn't a brand new thing. What I'm thinking is, since everyone and their uncle is taking antidepressants these days, surely Big Pharma's got to grow their number. So,
get the dogs in on it.
And don't forget to get them vaccinated while you're at it.
Well, right. And if Americans are used to taking antidepressants, then of course they're going to think that it's fine for their animals, too. Oh, well, I'm on them. Why shouldn't, Fido be on the antidepressants? I agree with you, Aria. I think that's a terrible
plan. I do want to correct myself real quick. There probably are some dogs out there who have been so sufficiently traumatized that they do have anxiety issues and stuff like that. So I don't want to say it's impossible for a dog to have anxiety or maybe even depression, right? But these are all things that with proper training, the dog could overcome, just like a human can overcome their anxiety or their depression or whatever. Give the dog some shrooms before
humans
you give
can
them
overcome
Prozac.
Depression
that
with,
is not medical advice. Do not give your dog shrooms. I have no idea what that
I
would
won't.
Do.
And I did bring what up do you I think? Did bring up Caesar what? As kind of a joke, but I'm actually not. If you ever watched any of his programs, he talks about why dogs do what they do. They're pack animals, and basically they learn incorrect training. They are trained incorrectly from an early age, and then they
become bad owner means bad dog every single time.
And antidepressants or whatever is just going to be a Band-Aid on a problem. It's something you could be paying for the rest of that dog's life.
You got to go to the root of the problem. And I agree with
Aria. What do you three think that when my dog is terrified of getting her nails cut and she is aggressive to visitors to my place, what do you all think would be the best way to handle that situation other than putting her on drugs?
How much exercise does this dog get? Is it cooped up in the house all day while you're at work and it's just was it traumatized as a young dog? Was it kicked around and beaten?
Like my trainer would say, well, you have to ease your dog into having them accustomed to having people mess with their nails, right? You can't just grab your dog and hold it down and start clipping its nails because that's just going to make it more anxious, more afraid, more out of control. But just start, petting your dog down to their nails a couple of times each day. Get them used to that movement.
Does the dog
get
let
used to
you?
The actual clips.
This is an important question. Does the dog let you do its nails?
No.
Okay.
Wait. It's no because you haven't tried or no because it won't let you?
I've tried, but she just tries to pull away.
Well, a lot of dogs are going to do that.
Yeah,
does she try to bite you? Does she get aggressive with you?
I haven't tried that forcefully. Being a libertarian, I don't like forcing anything.
Ian laughs, but I kind
right.
of agree with you. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Now, as far as your neighbors, the visitors are concerned, is the dog aggressive towards them or is it fearful of them?
That's tough to say.
Well,
either
fear
way,
can lead toward a snap, right?
Right. Like but if they're afraid of people, they're going to be afraid of someone cutting their nails as well.
Sure.
Now, if they're aggressive, it might be because... Caesar, we need you, man.
Well, I got to agree with Aria. It's good to get a professional in that, you never know which one to hire, right? Because there's different ones out there. But
but just about any dog trainer who specializes in dog training is going to have a pretty good idea of what they're doing. This is what
and
they
we'll
do.
Be able to determine whether it's afraid of people or whether it's just a mean bad dog or whether it's just an inbred dog. That's another problem. That's another problem that doesn't get brought up a lot.
We can answer this question real quick. Ask the trainer right off the bat. First question: hey, my vet wants to put my dog on Prozac.
What do you think?
Yeah. And the trainer that says that's a terrible idea,
stick with him.
I will train your dog. Dog, give that one a shot.
Yeah, try that, Dominic, and let us know how it goes, okay?
Cool.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
have a
the call.
Evening.
Yep. Number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
Ari, do you actually have a trainer for your dog or you know of one who
she
would
does,
work with
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And all right, because that's another problem I would run into. I've met some of these animal lovers, and I don't think they're worth their salt. I don't think they know anything about what they're actually doing, and they're out there wasting your time and taking your money.
Well, that's why I had a trainer, right? Because I'm a cat person. My cats are very well behaved, but you want me to communicate with a dog and get it to do what I want? I have no idea, man. So that's why I brought in a trainer, and he was great, and he taught me how to communicate with her. Like they said in the Cesar Millan show, you know, they rehabilitate dogs, and they train people. That's pretty much it. You have to be trained in how to interact with the dog.
And watch that South Park episode of Cesar Millan,
too.
I watched it today by
sheer coincidence.
That's one of my favorite. And you bringing up the dog training issue a year ago made me rewatch that at the time. Definitely
It was about a year ago. She turns a year this month. So she's a good girl.
Sadly, when it comes to some of these dogs, some of them were so badly abused when they were puppies. And then you've also got dogs who just bad genes, man. It's bad breeding. Wow. And they're dogs who are just, they were bred to be aggressive dogs.
Mandy,
I'm sorry, pit bulls out there.
No, pit bulls, they were nursery dogs. Go back to the early 20th centuries, and you're going to find pictures of them like coddling babies.
If you got a good owner,
centuries. What about this year? It's this 100 years of breeding. They're not the same dog.
Naturally bad dogs. It's a bad owner every single time when you're dealing with a pit bull. Mandy in the chat on YouTube says she waits till her dog is asleep and sneaks up and gets one nail at a time. That sounds risky, but if it works for you,
whatever you do, don't cut too deep, and
you got to be careful.
Your dog will hate you forever.
Yeah. You got to be careful with that for sure. They got coagulant, though, you can get just in case you accidentally cut it. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about a bad dog or Shanghai or whatever
that was
it is.
Surprising. I did not expect that call.
I like, you know, different calls with unusual questions, so feel free. Phones are open.
You know the problem in this world, right?
Well, there's a lot of them, but
This is the number one problem. You have two types of people in this world. You have dog people and you have cat people.
That's a problem?
That's a problem because all the people in power are dog people. If we had more cat people, it'd be a much better place. Now, here's the only problem.
I don't disagree because I know where you're coming from.
Here's the only problem. Cat people don't want to be in charge of you. So they're not going to run for office. They're not going to be at the White House with their cat.
Bill Clinton have a damn cat?
How many pictures of
socks?
How much time did it talk? What do you mean? It's socks?
Wasn't it called socks? Wasn't that Clinton's cat?
Did they ever talk about it?
I believe you're correct, Ian. Yeah.
But they also had a dog.
These are not. So,
do you remember his name?
I do not.
All right,
it's probably Duffy or something.
But these are not universal truisms.
But we don't actually know if Obama was a cat or a dog person because he had both. We don't know if Arya is a cat or a dog person, except we do know because we know Arya. She's a cat person. She just happens to have a dog. On the side.
I don't see what it makes a difference, man. They're a bunch of monsters. It doesn't matter whether or not they got a cat or a dog.
They're such different creatures, though, right? Like, my cats, if I had to, I could just leave. Here's some food. Here's some water. Your litter box is clean. I will be back in 4 days. You'll be fine.
Do your thing, yeah.
And I would come back. They would be upset because my cats are weird, and they would have missed me during that period, but they would have been fine. But if I left that dog for 4 days, dude,
he'd eat your house.
I can't imagine what I would come back to. Even if there was a way for me to manage the toilet's usage of the dog, despite not being there, it would be a disaster.
What was your prediction of Bill Clinton's dog's name?
Duffy.
Close. It was Buddy.
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
But that doesn't tell us whether Bill Clinton is a dog person or a cat person.
Did Obama have a dog or a cat?
What it tells you, Obama apparently only had dogs, but what it tells you is that these people are sociopaths.
They're control freaks. They want to control.
What they know is they need to try to look like you. That's why they go around and Biden's goes to the ice cream place and he's eating the ice cream and they ask him what his flavor of ice cream is when he's doing the interview with his grandkids and that's why they have dogs and cats.
What is his ice cream?
Ian, there are a lot of cat people out there. Why don't these guys ever have a presidential cat on display?
Joe Biden has one.
Where? I've never seen pictures of the cat.
His name is
I've seen pictures of the dog.
I was going
to
guess the name.
There's the one dog that he had to put down because he was biting Patriot or something.
I was going
to
guess Mittens.
Interestingly, Donald Trump is the only president in our lifetime who has not had any.
He has his peons. He has his workers.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of person who would have a pet iguana, though.
Seems like a person would have like a robot cat. He'd probably get Elon on the phone. Like, I want one of these new robotic cats.
You have to go all the way back to Andrew Johnson, the president after, I guess, Lincoln. They say he did not have any pets, but he did, however, feed white mice that he found in his bedroom. Prior to that, you have to go back to James K. Polk, who had no pets. Otherwise, they all have pets. And that's because they want to look like they fit in.
That's right. So we need to find actual pet owners who actually love their animals and have them because they wanted to
have
them.
We just don't need a president at all. And then you've got this problem solved.
I will say, despite not having a dog, Trump was probably one of the most relatable presidents we've ever had simply because of all the McDonald's he had delivered to the White House on that one occasion. Like, every news article I saw was like, he's cheapening the White House, the glory of the White House, but they're having Big Macs or cheeseburgers or whatever.
And he was trolling them like he did with everything he did.
Yeah, that is the American thing, though. McDonald's is huge in America, so there's nothing more American than feeding your football team McDonald's.
Was there more from your story, Aria, that you wanted to share about the de-dollarization?
Not really. They talk about the hegemony of the U.S. dollar. They don't really specify that that's a bad thing
statistic here in a Wall Street Journal story that's very similar. They say it's actually nearly 60% of the $12.8 trillion in worldwide currency reserves are in dollars. So
how much?
60% of the $12.8 trillion in worldwide currency reserves are dollars. So
there was already competition.
Well, yeah, but that's interesting. So the question becomes, at what percentage will it no longer be the dollar that is the world reserve currency? If it's already at 60%, is it 49%? Is it 33%? Like, I mean,
I would guess it's probably
49%. Well, obviously the competing currencies are lower and maybe 49, 30, whatever percent, and they're doing well in their respective countries.
Maybe it would have to be no longer the plurality or whatever. Maybe if it's, you know, at 49, it probably still would be number one because the other ones would be making up the other 51%. But according to this story, naysayers think this is the beginning of the end of the dollar as the reserve currency because Russia will cozy up to China and adopt the yuan or pivot to cryptocurrencies. And China may start dumping dollars. In fact, since 2014, China and Russia have severely reduced their dependence on the dollar for bilateral trade. So again, the gears were already turning on this. The dollar has been the world reserve currency since Bretton Woods back in 1944, which is an agreement they made in New Hampshire, by the way, with the dollar pegged to gold and other allied currencies pegged to the dollar. This wasn't some bureaucratic pronouncement. The U.S. was in a position of strength after funding the Allied effort in World War II. America almost lost this privileged status in 1971 when deficits from war and welfare led President Nixon to drop the gold standard.
As everyone knew was going to happen prior to the collapse of the Bretton Woods Agreement.
And it has been downhill ever since, to the point where the dollar has lost, 99% of its value since the early part of the 20th century?
Is it up to 99%? When I first started following this, it was
95% like 96 or something,
I would not be surprised to hear it's 90%. Wouldn't that be great, though, if they did start, like countries like China and Russia, they did start adopting cryptocurrency as reserve currencies? That would be a spectacular development because they can't inflate those. They can't control those.
China, like Russia, has a capita gross domestic product slightly above Mexico. I'm surprised it's not bigger than that. About one-sixth of the U.S. China's yuan value is based on its economic growth continuing, now forecast at 5.5% for 2022. Whatever China holds in Russian rubles has lost more than 40% of its value in mere weeks, but that's come back. The Russian ruble is back. It went down for a short period of time, and it is right back to where it was. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, and we'll definitely keep an eye on it here. Coming up, we're going to get into the top 10 survival crops. Conan, where's this list coming from?
This is from AskAPrepper.com. I don't know that I've actually... I know that we talked about some foods that you should grow last year during about this time. By the way, this
it's
is
planting season.
This is planting season.
Yeah, I also want to say, take this list with a grain of salt, though, because you said before the show even started tonight that you weren't growing ghost peppers after this year.
These are sustainable crops that you could store, a lot of without refrigeration, for many months that will sustain you for a good long time.
Peppers, you got to have some spice to make it good.
Peppers are not on the list, Arya.
It doesn't matter.
But I do grow them. So this is the top 10 foods to grow for survival from AskAPrepper.com. We'll get right into those in just a second.
There's more on the way and time for you if you want to weigh in on this, whether it's a dollar or prepping, growing food, crazy dogs, whatever is on your mind. You can join us 603-283-6160. You can take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live at 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us right here in the number 603-283-6160. We got time for you if you want to weigh in on whatever is on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. Tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
You can join us online. Head over to freetalklive.com. You can enjoy features that we have for you. We even have a video streaming site. Well, we're actually on a bunch of them, but the one that we like to talk about is Odyssey. You can go to video.freetalklive.com and please follow our channel there on Odyssey. We are not only streaming there nightly, but video archives are available for years. It's all there over at video.freetalklive.com. Conan, you've got the top 10 survival crops, and it is planting season, at least up here in New England. It probably was planting season earlier.
Cold crop season for a month now, so you should have put your potatoes and your onions and started your cabbages indoors. You should have started them a month ago.
Should have. Is it too late to start them?
Nope. If you can put them in the ground right now, you're good to go. The problem is ground prep, and a lot of the problem and a lot of what I have learned over the years is you kind of have to start now before the collapse. You have to start training yourself and figuring out what works and what doesn't. And there are crops that I have problems growing here in Keene all the time. Mm-hmm. Crops that I used to eat in the South all the time, like okra. You can just throw okra over the fence and in the dirt and it'll grow and you'll be getting all kinds of crops. Here, it's just too cold at night. Mm. It really does require a certain temperature. But I can grow peppers, though, here in Keene. But not okra.
Could you do it in like a greenhouse or something?
If I had one, and it's on my list. That's just something else that I have to do when I could just be growing potatoes.
Yeah.
And this list is really going to go over the crops that store well.
Is this a
are calorie intense?
And is this a list that pretty much anyone can grow, or is it only for certain regions?
This is there's sweet potato on this list, and that is not something that I've been able to successfully grow here in Keene as well. So, but in the South, you need to be growing yourself some sweet potatoes because they grow easy and they store well and they're good. They're just good. I really miss them.
Your issue is that you're trying to grow sweet potatoes in New England. You have to grow yams, Conan.
I don't even think you can grow yams here, and they're not the same thing.
Oh, they're not.
No, they're definitely different, a different animal.
I thought I was making
a joke.
I
didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, sweet potatoes and yams are different, and sweet potatoes are not related to regular white potatoes.
Okay.
When the collapse happens and you are in survival mode, you need to consider your long-term food needs.
You know, before you go on, are we going to know when the collapse happens?
You can't know. This is like the revelations. You don't know when it's coming.
It's until later. You don't know until afterwards,
you have to just start doing it now.
Or is it like happening now, right? Because, when is it going to be the collapse? Are we in the middle of a slow-motion collapse?
When is the American Civil War? Is it going to start a year from now, or are we already in it?
I think there probably is a moment, some sort of catalyst, some huge life-changing moment that makes it clear that, yes, we are, in fact, in the midst of the collapse.
Mm. I would say this inflation that we've been talking all night is indicative of what we're truly in. We're in the collapse.
I think it's coming.
So when the collapse happens, you need to do this. Whatever food you have stored away will eventually run out.
Before the collapse, you need to do this.
And then you'll have nothing in your pantry. For this reason, you need to use the time you're eating through your food stores to grow your own food.
Mm.
Food that will be ready when your stores are gone. Perhaps the most important thing to understand when it comes to growing food for survival is that some foods are better than others when it comes to ease of growth, nutritional content, caloric content and ease of storage. For this reason, you need to have good knowledge of the foods, of the best foods to grow for survival, particularly if you have limited space or and or are trying to decide which types of seeds to stockpile. Because that's the other thing, you got to, you know, you can buy seed from the store, but if the I'm telling you, if there's not food on the shelves, I'm guaranteed they're not going to have seeds on the shelves either. So you need to figure out what seeds. And seeds have a shelf life as well. Some are only a couple of years, some will last 10 years, but you know, they're different. It involves you trial by error, figuring out which ones work and which ones don't. First one on this list. Actually, let me just step back a little bit. All right, so the hardy foods. First, when it comes to growing your own food, nothing is off limits. All right, you can grow your peppers if you want. I'll grow some hot peppers for you because I'm going to have too many reapers.
Well, when the collapse comes, I will buy them from you with gold.
Good, good. I accept goldbacks and crypto. You can grow anything you want.
I imagine crypto would be hard to use in the event of a societal collapse.
We have lots of goldbacks floating around in Keene. Mm-hmm. Well, those will become the staple currency here. You can grow anything you want to include in your diet, and your summer months will allow you to have a great abundance of food. Things like tomatoes, peppers, lettuce, and broccoli are all wonderful foods to grow, rich in vitamins and minerals. However, these are not the hardy foods that will get you through your winter, particularly when your available methods of preservation are limited. If you know how to can, though, grow as many peppers and tomatoes as you want. I can a lot of tomatoes, and that's just something that I really eat with everything.
Well, tomatoes are fantastic. They can go with everything,
yes.
Except pancakes.
I'm wrapping my head around that one. I'm thinking you're absolutely correct on that one. Unless it's about a potato pancake.
I've thought about this. Like, what can you not put tomatoes with? And the only answer I came up with definitively was pancakes.
A potato pancake with ketchup on top?
What? What just came out of your mouth? Pancakes with ketchup?
Tomato paste.
Uh-huh.
Ketchup.
With a potato pancake.
All right, are we thinking about the same potato? A potato pancake is
like hash
browns.
Okay.
Yes, that's
okay, they call them that.
They go hand in hand.
Don't call it a potato pancake.
Ideally, you want foods that, once harvested, can be stored as is or dried and stored for use over the winter months. For this reason, the following are the recommended staples to plant and grow for year-round sustenance, starting with the three sisters. And I have never been able to do the three sisters. Program, which is corn with beans growing up the corn and squash growing at the base.
Can't work here is what you're saying?
It's dumb. Every single time the squash doesn't get enough light at the base and can't do its thing, and the beans that are growing up the corn stalks pull the corn down to the ground, and then you got corn stalks all over the place.
So they do grow. They just don't want to grow. You shouldn't grow them together is what you're saying.
Well, according to the myth of the Native Americans, this is what they did. This is their specialty, the three sisters system, where they would grow these three crops together. And I'm just not sure it actually works. Now, I know that there is I've seen diagrams of different setups where you're not growing them right on top of each other. You know, they're spread out in such a way that they are able to complement each other. I just have not been able to do it. I just grow my squash in one section. I grow my corn in another section. I grow my beans in another.
Especially, but you are doing those three.
Absolutely. Okay. Not as much corn, because we'll talk about why in a second. But the first one on this list, definitely recommend it, beans. Beans are one of the best staples for so many reasons. First, they are very high in protein, vitamins, and minerals. And they are also very high in calories, providing lots of energy required for survival. There are two types of beans. You have your pole beans, your vining beans, which you're going to grow up a trellis, or if you're going to do three sisters, grow up a corn stalk, which I'm not recommending. And then you have your bush beans, which, as just as they sound, they're going to grow low to the ground in a bush format. I grow both. A lot of the beans that you wouldn't want to store as dried beans are going to be your bush, your pole bean types, which are growing on trellises. A lot of the beans that I can as green beans, which I absolutely love, are going to be your bush beans. But I grow right now, I'm on five different varieties of beans, and I grow them every year. It used to be very tedious to me picking all those beans, and it definitely is for the amount of food that you get. But I don't know. I can't.
If you're starving,
I can so many
care.
Of them. It's so easy to can. The process is so easy, and they're so good. They're so delicious. This is one of my staples that I just can't do, even though it is tedious getting in there and picking one bean at a time. A lot of people don't like it just because of that reason. Next on the list is corn. I don't recommend it because it basically is a For the small gardener.
It takes up a lot of space.
It takes up a lot of space. You don't get a whole lot of product out of the space taken. And
you can't eat a whole lot of it.
And
either.
It depletes the hell out of your soil content.
Oh, really?
I would have thought the point of corn was like high energy, though. You know, it's basically a sugar snack.
Yeah,
right?
It's sucking up all the nitrogen out of your. It's just like grass. It sucks all the nitrogen out of your soil. It ruins it. So you can't really use that again unless you have a good winter. You sow a good winter crop down there that revitalizes the soil content. But it takes up so much space. Nah. Now if you've got acres and acres of just field just sitting there. And you have cattle and or pigs and or chickens? Yeah, grow some corn, man. That's
more
the way to do it.
More of the top 10 survival crops coming here. Conan sharing a story from, where was it? Survival what?
Ask a prepper.
More coming up here. You can join us as well at 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here in the remaining moments. 603-283-6160. Ian here.
Are you?
And Conan.
And we're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. Don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. We do have our social media site. We run the server. It's a Mastodon server, which means it's open source. That means it is free. It's free software. And it's not run by a big megatech corporation. Like I said, we run the server. You can go over to social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there. I was doing some live tooting, as they call it today, from the courtroom where Joa, who was our co-host until he got his license suspended, he couldn't actually physically get to the studio. He had, a domestic issue with the young woman that he was living with who was accusing him of things, and that was heard today in court. So if you were curious about what happened there, you can follow my post today. I did a summary of that over at social.freetalklive.com. We don't have a verdict yet in that particular case, but we'll keep you in the loop as it develops. So check that out, social.freetalklive.com. We go back to your phone calls and thoughts, and then we'll continue with the top 10 survival crops. First, Andrew is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, Andrew.
Oh, no, I'm in Tennessee.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, that's where I was at for a couple of years.
I apologize.
Clarksville.
You said Santa Fe, and so I jumped to a conclusion.
I'm sorry. No, I said Tennessee, but I was on speakerphone earlier. So.
Okay, so I misheard Tennessee as Santa Fe. All right, then. Well, go ahead. What's on
your mind? Well, the story I had, I got nostalgic about Conan talking about animals. And when I was about 6 years old, I remember staying with my grandfather and there was a big ice storm and he was raising cattle at the time. And we had to go and check on the cattle. And one of them was pregnant and she had broken her leg. She fell on some ice. Ugh. And my grandfather, rural Tennessee, he's not a veterinarian or anything, but somehow he figured out how to go and get his tractor and pick up this cow by the legs and birth her calf. And the calf lived. And I remember as a child witnessing it and just thinking how much life goes on, whether or not you try to avoid it or not, life is out there. And it just gave me an appreciation for things in a way that I can't even
explain it.
I think that moment that you witnessed, and I saw many, many births, and we did lose one. We lost one Holstein milk cow giving birth. The calf survived, but the mother did not. I've seen many, many births, and seeing that such a large animal, you know, and seeing that process, because most people, they don't get to see any type of birth, human, you know, whether it's their dog or their cats. And seeing that and witnessing that and being a part of it really brings you down to earth.
And it really brings things full circle in a way that if you don't witness it, you don't understand it. And it's really carried with me, and I think it kind of created the like an independent person, that people, there's people that are just spectators, mm-hmm. that just spectate life, and they never get to actually experience it. So if you're a spectator, it's easy to criticize, but if you're actually experiencing, it's a different thing.
It's a game changer. And by the way, the spectators that you're talking about are the people who think their chicken comes from the store.
Andrew, thanks for the story tonight, man. I appreciate your thoughts.
Hey, I respect you guys, and I just want to say, just keep doing what you're doing. My heart's in the same place yours is.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to, I believe, West Virginia, 304 area code. You're on Free Talk Live.
That's right. This is Bob from West Virginia.
Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
One thing you missed was you grow your vegetables on a south-facing slope. You folks are in a mountainous area, correct?
No, we're in a valley. We're in a swamp.
You're in the swamp?
Well, there's mountains in New Hampshire, just not right here.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have a... What you want to do is grow it in a south-facing slope wherever you are to make sure that you get as much sunshine as possible. So that's sure. something I do. I can, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All of my gardens are facing this, are going from east to west, the length of them, that is, and they're all facing. And I do plan on growing tall veggies like corn and all in the back, because I know that they're going to just they're going to shade everybody out, so I don't put them in the front on the south end, as you mm-hmm. as you mentioned. And I've got my
south-facing slope is what I always do here.
But we don't have any slopes here in Keene. We are basically in a swamp, old lake.
Okay, I'm talking about all the people out there listening and listening.
Absolutely, that is a very good point.
Anything else?
I mean, there's
Bob?
Definitely okay, some slope thing. Land
when you
here.
Can meat? When you can meat?
I can chicken, pork. I don't get pork anymore because I can't afford the sub. But I can chicken every year. Sometimes on the bone. Sometimes on the bone. Sometimes I will pressure cook it first. I'll pick it off the bone. And actually, I'm finding that's the way that I like to do it.
Yeah, I do it at 241 degrees.
I pressure can mine for 90 minutes at 10 PSI. I don't know what the temperature is, actually.
Yeah, I do temperature, and I make sure there's nothing in it that's going to kill me.
There you go.
Botulism
will
get you.
I'll hunt rabbits. Rabbits pose for you; they're easy to shoot.
They are, I'll one up you. I harvest my own. I grow my own, so I can just go out there whenever I want one.
You grow your own rabbits.
Instead of having to actually, I don't like hunting unless it's like back porch hunting, which is illegal. I'm not saying people do that.
It depends on where you live.
It's just for eating. You know, I mean, you got to eat something. Let's say there's nothing on the shelf at the store. You got to do something about the protein intake. So. I would say that would be something good.
But if I was to lose my rabbits and my chickens, I tell you what, there are thousands of squirrels.
There are a lot of squirrels.
It takes a twosome. You got to have the other guy around the tree to scare the squirrel around to your side so you can pick them off.
Well,
Bob, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate the advice and the thoughts. Conan, let's keep this thing going here. See how many more of these top 10 survival crops we can
number get one, number three on the list. Definitely recommend it. Easy to grow, easy to store. Winter squash.
Okay.
Butternut, spaghetti, Hubbard, and pumpkins also fall in this. Very easy. Just kind of.
You can use almost all of it, right?
The only thing I would say about winter squash is it takes a lot of heat, a lot of oven temperature mm-hmm. to process. I don't know how many of these you can eat raw, but they do store very well. I am still eating squash that I picked off the vine in October, maybe even August. I think I picked them in August, and they're still well to do. Now, you need to have a nice storage mm-hmm. Basement like I do. You can't leave them out in the garage.
Okay.
In a wet, nasty garage. Winter squash, easy to grow. Definitely recommend it.
And you just set them down in the basement. You don't like prep them in any way.
I keep them dry. So okay. You don't want to put them on a wet basement floor or anything like. But yeah, no prep. Okay. Now there are crops that you would want to prep like carrots, and we're going to get mm-hmm. that out in a second. The next one on the list, definitely recommend potatoes. Mm-hmm. Easy to grow. You get a whole lot of them for the amount of space that they take up, and they store very well. Some potatoes are better than others. Some will rot. Some have a shorter shelf life than others. Like russet potatoes will last a good long time. Mm. A lot of white potatoes tend to start to develop issues a little sooner than the hardier, thicker-skinned russet potato. Carrots are on this list. Not as easy to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But once you figure it out, and you don't mess with them and you've got them in good soil that's going to work with you, they're very easy to store. You store them in sawdust, and oh, I just store them in the same dirt that I pull them up out of. I'm still eating. In fact, I just ate the last couple. No, I still have a couple carrots left, but most of them went back into the ground because carrots are a biennial crop, which they only seed in the second year. So I picked my favorite carrots from last year, and I'm putting them back in the ground this year. They're going to go to seed, so I'm going to have millions and millions of seeds.
You put a whole carrot back in the ground?
Bunch of whole carrots, a good dozen of them. Okay. Yes, that's the way it works.
I didn't know that.
The other way to do it is just to leave them in the ground, and they'll last through the winter. Uh-huh. If it's nice, dry soil, if it's wet, nasty soil, they might rot. But you leave them in the ground, and the second year, they actually go to seed.
All right.
Cabbages on this list. I eat a lot of cabbages. I do a lot of sauerkraut. I do a lot of kimchi.
Okay.
Another easy crop. I'm sorry. This is not an easy crop if you have moths. Cabbage moths. Mm. I have found the solution to this problem, and it's not putting nets over your cabbages, which you can do. The stuff that you want to use is called Thuricide, and it actually works. You just spray it on once a week, keeps the moths off, and you can get those cabbage heads, those full monster cabbage heads, make your sauerkraut without all the little wormy-doos in it.
Send me a link to that. I'll get it up on the social site for the remaining, two or three?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Folks can go check it out over at social.freetalklive.com.
Get them in the ground now. It's the week to do it.
That's social.freetalklive.com. We will see you tomorrow night.